Hour number three, Darren Donick and Chase. Good news on the Predators front. Ryan Ellis out there skating with Roman Josi on that first D pairing. Also, Ryan Ellis talking to the media after practice. Those are all good signs that probably a really good chance he's at the United Center or in the United Center playing tomorrow night against the Blackhawks. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but we get back to Willie's bubble list. We're trying to get his first installment of all 68 that are in, according to him, sitting here on February 20th.
Right, and keep in mind that when you watch Joe Lunardi, and you're going to see a lot of Joe, right? Joe will start popping up during broadcasts. Who's your last four in? Who's your first four out? And he'll change. You know, it'll start one way when a game starts, and by the end of the game, three or four teams have flipped. You can't get too wrapped into all of that. This is going to change a lot between now and then. So don't panic if your team's not in the top 68 right now. But this is what we got. This is where it starts. These teams now are not locks that I'm telling you. And they might even be one or two teams of the teams I said were locks that conceivably could fall out if they really hit the skids. But let's move to team number 56, BYU. They're having an awfully good year. They are doing much better in the who have you beaten outside of the league. They have a couple of quad one wins. They're certainly not a lock, but I've got them in for now. Florida has surged all of a sudden. I think they have a very good chance of being the fourth team out of the SEC. They were a team that had very high expectations before the season started. They haven't really achieved to their potential, but they may be peaking at the right time. Arizona State and Bobby Hurley, I think they've gotten back into the mix. The Pac-12 is not as deep as it once was, but it's not as thin as it has been. Remember, there's a couple of years you're looking around going, is that league even going to get two or three teams in? Now they've got a chance for four or five. Arizona State is in pretty good position. They barely got in last year. I think they played in that first four last year. Wichita State out of the American Conference, starting to look pretty good. Not a lock by any stretch. There's a logjam of teams that could emerge behind Houston, and they're one of them. Utah State, playing out of the league that San Diego State plays in, the Mountain West. They're the second-best team in there. They have been to the tournament some here recently. They've had some good squads. I like them. Team number 61, we're going to go with Richmond, a team that...
Spiders.
Hey! Where'd he go? Richmond hosted Vanderbilt early in the season when Aaron Nesmith was still healthy. And it was a great game. It went to overtime, and Richmond won at the buzzer. Vanderbilt almost pulled off the upset in that one. Richmond, since then, has really had an outstanding year. And so they're in the Atlantic 10. I mentioned that's a pretty good balanced league. There's about four teams that could end up getting one or two slots there. So right now, we go with Richmond. North Carolina State got a big win last night against Duke. So that puts them in good shape right now. But the ACC is not nearly as deep as it is most years. A lot of times you have 8, 9, 10 teams in that league that could get in. This year it's not the case. There's a lot of mediocrity. But NC State just got a huge one last night against Duke. Not just winning, but winning big. Oklahoma is a team that has played a very, very difficult schedule. But they haven't beaten a lot of people. They're 1-9 right now against Quadrant 1 opponents. But right now, I still think because of the quality of that league, I'm also maybe just projecting a little bit. I think Oklahoma will get in there. They'll win a couple more big ones. But they're certainly not a lock. Team 64, I'm going to go with St. Mary's. Darren's making fun of me. But St. Mary's has had a good year. They did flop hosting Gonzaga. That is the one thing that's really hurting them right now. That league could get three. But when you really get down to it, will that league actually get three, the West Coast Conference? I don't know. I'd be sweating on Selection Sunday if that's the case. Now we'll get into the quote-unquote last four in right now. Again, pay more attention to this as we get into the days of March.
So this would be the play-in games?
In theory, yeah.
Yep.
Mississippi State, I think they passed the eye test for me. I watched them. They look like an NCAA tournament team to me. Their numbers are borderline.
Jimmy Dykes liked Mississippi
likes
State.
A lot.
I think they could be really good. They could beat some people in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Number 66, Xavier. That's a very deep league. Maybe it will take a good tournament run, a conference tournament run for Xavier to get over the hump. And they are the?
Chase. I don't know. Chase. Musketeers.
Hey,
you got
right.
told. You got told. You cheated. Cheater. Way to go, Astros.
Now we're
good
really
job.
Getting down to the last
the trash
couple.
Can.
Here the trash can.
Thanks, Eliza.
The trash can. Thanks. He got
I am the
signal.
Trash can. Like, Let's get
Musketeers.
He's eight. He's wearing a mic. Don't pull his shirt off.
The buzzer.
Got the buzzer
Musketeers.
On.
What's that? You got on your shirt there, Chase?
Well, nothing.
It's a tattoo. There. It's a tattoo.
Tattoo.
Can't take it off.
Bad tattoo.
Bad tattoo. Purdue, number 67. Now, this is a controversial one. They have one of the toughest schedules in the country. They are, 14-13 right now. They got a lot of quality wins, though. This is one to really watch for because remember when Vanderbilt got in a few years ago at, I think it was 17-15 or something like that, they had the toughest schedule in the country. This is the pathway that Purdue is going to try to take. It's an awfully deep conference. They probably need to make some noise between now and their run in the Big Ten tournament. And then finally, USC. This one is a crapshoot. None of these teams now are they're going to have to do a lot more to make sure that they get in. But right now I have USC. The next four out, this would be the first four out, 69 through 72 would be in some particular order. Stanford, Indiana, Providence, Cincinnati. Don't worry. Ryan, Cincinnati has a chance. Ryan Porth, the resident Bearcat fan. Cincinnati has kind of okay resume. The record looks good. They've done well in the conference, but
they went to double overtime last night.
They're gonna need some more. So that's what I have right now. Elijah, am I missing anybody obvious that I would have overlooked?
No. Not Rich and Purdue surprises me in a little bit. They have a couple bad quad three losses.
Yes.
And they've had a lot of opportunities to beat teams in the Big Ten, which is loaded with quad one teams. But I like you putting USC in there. They have a center, Onyeka Okungwu. Funny name. Will be a top three pick in the NBA draft this year. Mark it.
Top three?
Top three. Hmm. He should. If he falls out of the top three, someone is getting a steal. He is the best center in this draft.
Interesting. Purdue is 14-13. 5-10 in quadrant one. So they've played 15 games in quadrant one. They have the third toughest schedule in the country. We'll see how that goes. So Tennessee, they're a long way away. They've got a. I'm not sure they're in the next four. Memphis is the same way. Got some work to do. So there's other teams to watch for would be teams like Tulsa, SMU, St. Bonaventure, VCU, Notre Dame still not out of it, Texas not out of it, Providence not out of it, Nevada, UCLA, and then there's your South Carolinas, your Arkansas, your Alabamas, not out of it, but boy, you better get on your horse and get going here.
Predators head coach John Hines says it is possible that Ryan Ellis could return to the lineup tomorrow night in Chicago, but they also want to see how he responds after another full practice today. He has missed 20 games due to the concussion in Dallas, the Winter Classic. So we will see. We will keep you posted. Along those lines, it was Hockey Day in America. Hockey's for everyone. A triple header on Sunday. But Saturday night, there was an outdoor game between the Avs and the Kings. And that was at Air Force at Colorado Springs. And the numbers have come out. It's the least watched NHL outdoor game on NBC ever. They've had 21 that they've shown on NBC, and it was the least watched primetime broadcast game they've ever had.
I have said this a few times over the last few years, and you tell me if you agree. I think there's a couple too many outdoor games.
I kind of liked it when it was just the Winter Classic.
I think that's the best way to go myself.
They went too far.
I know a lot of people want to do the outdoor games.
They've pulled it back, but I'm not sure how much intrigue there is unless you're there. You know what I mean? For everybody else.
Now, a problem that they had at this particular outdoor game was traffic was brutal. Like, did you read Greg Wyshynski had some stories? Some people literally didn't get there until the second intermission.
Really? Ooh,
second
that's
intermission
bad.
Because of the traffic.
Well, but that I didn't see that, but I that doesn't affect
so I don't know
what
if
we're
that
talking about.
Link into the to the ratings or not, but like they announced that there's going to be a game in Raleigh.
How would that
coming up?
How would that affect ratings? That those people were going to the game. This is people at home watching.
If anything, it should have increased the ratings. Maybe they had their phone.
Could there be a scenario where they do, like on New Year's Day, they do two games? They do a Winter Classic and a Heritage Classic?
I don't think that's a horrible idea.
You just knock them out one
day? A day game and a night game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
That would be cool. Willie, I hope you're talking about Ryan Ellis tomorrow night in Chicago.
I hope so. That would be great for him. Great for the team. Adam Vingan's article in The Athletic lays out some of the, you know, the difference between Ryan Ellis. We've grown used to the team. They've played a quarter of a season now without Ryan Ellis, and they have adapted as best they can. But just take a look statistically of what Ryan Ellis brings to the table compared to the players that have replaced him. It is eye-opening.
Yep.
Even if he's not 100% sharp in his first game back. But let's keep our fingers crossed that that's tomorrow night.
All right. Good stuff. We will come back. Alan Bell, the rest of the hour. We'll talk some football with him in studio next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie D out the door, headed to Chicago. With some parting...
Get some pizza.
Parting words on the way out. Alan Bell replaces him.
Is he going to listen to his A-track on the way there?
Mm-hmm. We had fun with that earlier today. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hold on.
Oh, it's the other one. Got to work the other one. There we
doing
go.
Good. You guys
there
doing all right?
There we go.
I didn't mean to chase Willie out the door.
No, we wanted to hear you.
All right.
We're fair. Selfish like that.
I like it.
We were talking during the break. The story that, as we sit here on February 20th, I mean, we're not even, we're 3 weeks from the Super Bowl, post-Super Bowl. And a story has not gone away. Of TB12 to Nashville.
Yeah.
In fact, you could make the case Jeff Darlington and Adam Schefter just gave it legs.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, we've talked about it, you know, before. And you look at Tom Brady. If he's truly going to leave New England, right, let's say that that's – because we don't even know, you know, if that's really a thing. Tom Brady plays leverage. Like, he does this, right? But let's just assume that this is for real. Like, he really will, you know, entertain the idea of for real leaving New England. There are not many places that make sense for him because, you know, money is not his biggest factor. It's winning. And the teams that are out there that could use his services – that can win legitimately.
Far away, minus the Titans.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah, absolutely
Dolphins?
True. The Titans are his best option. Absolutely.
Unless you're selling South Beach, which we know, okay, it's a great place to live. He goes to great places all the time.
He can buy a house. If he wants to be in South Florida,
right,
he can buy a
house. Exactly.
But the Titans offer him something that almost no other team out there gives him, and that's a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl.
And the Chargers, a head coach that'll leave him alone.
Chargers don't. Bears don't. Dolphins don't.
Raiders don't.
Raiders don't. Bengals don't. Browns don't. I mean, just keep going down the list, right? The teams that were in the playoffs, if you look last year, all those teams have quarterbacks. You look at, you know, the Final Four, right? The championship round. Yeah, the Titans were the only ones that could, you know, look at another quarterback, right? The Packers aren't. The 49ers aren't. The Chiefs aren't, you know, keep going down the list. The Ravens aren't. Yeah, I mean, the Titans give him a shot to win. So it's a real thing. If he's thinking about leaving, it's a real thing.
You're a good follow on Twitter. I don't know how much you talk to agents and people behind the scenes because that goes on, right?
Yep.
And guys like Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington especially, they know how the game works. They know when somebody is maybe trying to take them down a path they want them to go down.
Yep.
They're smart enough to know that. I mean, Adam Schefter's got millions upon millions of followers. He just doesn't throw stuff out there.
No.
The fact is, if this really was about Tom Brady just letting the Patriots know I'm loved, I think they would sniff that out and realize, look, he's not going anywhere. Come on, give me a break. I think, to me, what's intriguing is the fact that it's not going away. There has to be something to it, and people are coming out with a list. And when you come out with a list and you say, guys, it could happen, but Patriots are still number one. And the fact that they're not having the Patriots number one, they're talking about it, and they're saying Titans or Raiders, right? I mean, am I just trying to wish this to this market?
No, or? No, you're not. You're not at all, and you're exactly right. Like, you know, you'll see. You could kind of tell in media in terms of, you know, when a team is putting something out there or an agent. And that's nothing against, you know, reporters by any means. That's just the way that the game is played. Adam Schefter doesn't do that, right? Like, when he says something, it's legit. Like, I mean, he is legit. And, you know, like you just said, the fact that it's not overwhelming, you know, if something were to happen, he's not giving those, you know, those qualifications before it. I mean, this really is a thing. And the biggest factor is pay attention to what Robert Kraft has been saying, you know, this entire offseason. You know, when he's asked at a UFC fight, what do you want, you know? And he's like, you know what I want, and that, you know, that's my guy back. And then he's, you know, saying, he's already put it out there, hey, you know, we're offering, you know, $30+ million. What that means is that, you know, in case he doesn't come back, they did all that they could to get the guy back. So that's why this thing is legit. I mean, it absolutely is a real thing that he could possibly go.
Okay, so this is what we were playing out last hour.
Yeah.
John Robinson, this is my opinion. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, behind the scenes, behind closed doors, privately, they know who they want to go to the ball with. They know who they want to go out on a date with. Okay? Now, they need to flirt with both of them. They need to present themselves like they, each one of them, are the date they're choosing.
Yep.
So it's a fine line, because obviously you can't get left at the altar with both. But with that being said, if you know who you want, so let's start there. Who do you think they privately, behind closed doors, and I'm just asking you to give me your opinion. I know you don't know. None of us know. Who do you think is number one on their list? Tannehill or Brady?
Tom Brady.
Okay, why?
Because you have a full 20-year history of consistent numbers, and you know exactly what you're going to get. And side note, there are no two better people to make this decision than Vrabel and John Robinson. They know both guys.
Very good point.
Yeah, they know both guys. Whatever they decide is likely the best decision, right? So I think it would be Tom Brady, because you look at, he's got a 20-year history of exactly what this guy's done. He is the ultimate competitor for what Mike Vrabel wants with this team. And then you look at, you know, Ryan Tannehill, and this, again, this is nothing against Ryan Tannehill. He's had a fantastic year. We're going off 10 games. Is Ryan Tannehill going to come back and statistically double the greatest season that he's ever had in the history of his life, right? So, I mean, he could. Like, I'm not saying that he couldn't. But are you going to do that? And then, even if he does, is that enough to get past the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game? And I think that they are going to look at it and say, you know what? We have a legitimate shot to go for a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Not that they don't with Tannehill, but Tom Brady gives you that. He gives you insurance on Derrick Henry that you can't load boxes because Brady can slant you to death. I think Tom Brady would be their guy, you know, if all things are considered, the money, you know, is relatively the same, you know, that type of thing.
Okay. I will tell you, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think privately it is TB12.
So you guys
too.
Don't think the devil you know. You don't think that you stick with what you
know. I think Alan just said it best. If there is two guys that are more equipped or better equipped than them, I'd like to know who it is.
Yeah.
It's better equipped than them to speak what you have in Tom Brady, they've never had, but they know. Because John Robinson spent how long there?
Yeah, I mean, years. I mean,
Vrabel played with. I mean, hello.
Yeah,
and then they know what they have in Ryan Tannehill, so they know. There's nobody better equipped to know what's the right. So I agree with you. Now I'm going to ask you, Alan Bell, what would be your decision?
Tom Brady.
And why?
For exactly that.
Okay.
You have consistent numbers. You know exactly what you're going to get. It provides you insurance with Derrick Henry. What also it does is that the Titans have to make a decision on their backup quarterback, too. So with Tom Brady, you could draft a kid or sign someone behind him, and Tom Brady's not looking over his shoulder. Not saying Ryan Tannehill is, but that's how Ryan Tannehill got this job. And if you draft a kid and say Tannehill comes out, has, you know, 2-3 rough games, is he looking over his shoulder? Because that's how he got the job from Mariota. Tom Brady's not doing that at all. And he is comfortable with you getting a kid because he knows the game. So, yeah, I mean, I could keep going for a while, but Tom Brady would be my choice.
We've been talking about this for weeks, Alan, and my answer hasn't changed and is not going to change. Doesn't mean it's going to play out that way, but I'm in the same camp with you, and I take it a little bit further just because I've been covering them and I've seen them here since day one. This is it's bigger than everything you just laid out, which I agree, which in the end, if you believe he is maybe the guy that can get you to the promised land, then that honestly needs to be number one on the list because that's their goal.
Yeah.
But what else he does, because you can't guarantee that, nobody knows how it's going to play out, it guarantees something we've been talking about for a while in this market and the trouble that they have selling tickets. And the only time it looks like a really, really good atmosphere is when the other team brings 20,000 to 25,000 fans. And they need to get back to 69,000 hardcore Titans fans, which used to be the case and used to be an impossible place to try to come in here and win because it was so loud. You do that, will you get Tom Brady? If you can't sell out every game, then you need to get out. Like, you need to get out of the business.
Yeah.
Like, every game should be a hardcore sellout. You're going to also, merchandise goes through the roof. The national TV markets or companies are all like, okay, how many Sunday night football games can we get?
Yep.
How many Monday night football games can we get? I mean, Thursday night, right? Primetime television.
Yeah.
Titans have everything that the fans hear a lot, because I know I've taken the calls, who've complained, nobody has anybody ever talk about the Titans on a national level. That all goes away.
Yeah, it does.
Every bit of it.
Yeah.
Is that such a horrible thing?
No.
If you're the Titans organization, I say absolutely not.
No. Everyone that's in the ticket sales office would love to. It's a lot easier to make those calls.
No question.
You know, I mean, that's a great point. Like, he changes the economics, you know, off the field, you know, so to say. I mean, he's had, what, the number one selling jersey for 10 years now? And you wonder, it's like, okay, how many Tom Brady jerseys do you need? You know what I mean? These are people buying multiple of them. I mean, that's a great point. He changes all that.
Let me ask it this way too. So we would all agree that there's risk with everything you do. So if you bring Tannehill back, even though he was great this year for them in 10 games, it could fail. It could fail miserably.
Well, it doesn't even have to fail miserably. You could. It's kind of like the Pat Mahomes 50 touchdown season, 5,000. Like, everybody knew last year it was going to be less.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, when I
had to.
And they still won the Super Bowl. It went his numbers went way back. And I know he got hurt and missed a couple games, but.
But he's not Patrick Mahomes.
I understand. I'm just saying, and they still won the Super Bowl. He can still come back in a 16 game. He's not going to probably have the percentages and what he did last season. Doesn't mean that they can't get back to the same point that they were this year.
But my point, my question is, when I say fail, I mean, five, six wins, miss playoffs. That's a failure.
No question.
Massive failure.
Massive.
So it could happen with Tannehill, and while we don't truly believe it could, but you could sign Brady and all of a sudden there's the cliff that we've talked about, or he gets hurt or something. I think, and I want to know what you guys think, that if they were to go Brady, you're going to have a more patient fan base if it doesn't work, because then they're going to look, well, they signed Tom Brady, so they went for it, and it just didn't work.
Yeah,
I feel like you get more of that than you do with Tannehill when weighing both sides.
Yeah, you do. I think that you get, exactly like you said, you get a, you know, kind of a larger margin of error to play with. Not to mention, barring injury, I do not see a way that Tom Brady fails. And I'm saying that because you look at what he did last year, and again, you know, we're comparing different things, but what he did last year in a quote-unquote, you know, trash season would have set Titans franchise all-time records, right? And he did it without a single running back going for 100 yards in a game. I mean, he legitimately got that team to the playoffs by himself. I know they had a great defense.
12 wins.
12 wins. He did it by himself with people that no one has heard of. No tight ends. Barely had Nikhil Henry. Like, he did it with legitimately no one. With this Titans team, we're asking Tom Brady to do less. He's not going to have to throw 40 times a game. You can run the ball, and you can legitimately have a 50-50 balanced offense to where he can throw 3, 4, 5 yard passes, and that's all that you need him to do, you know?
So, to your point, the Titans offense, every offensive category compared to the Patriots, every offensive category, offensive line, tight end, receivers, running back, although the Titans would have gotten every check mark.
Every one of them. And a lot of them not even close. Wide receiver, not even close. Running back, not even close. Offensive line, not even close. And especially Dante Sarnecchia, who's arguably the best offensive line coach in the league with the Patriots, just retired. So the Patriots are seemingly getting worse, right? Like, that's why I think this thing is legit. So, yeah, I mean, Brady would have twice, three times the amount of weapons in Tennessee that he did in New England.
More with Alan Bell on the other side, 24/7 Sports, CBS. More discussion with him, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarlane, Willie headed to Chicago. Alan Bell, Sportsline 24/7, in studio with us. So one thing, Alan, that outside of the Titans that affects the whole league that has come to light is there are CBA discussions going on. I think they're trying to avoid what they went through last time, wanting to get this deal done. And as a part of it, it's looking like the playoffs could expand. And so each conference will have one extra team in the playoffs. There would only be one first-round bye. We'd have a triple header on wild card Saturday and a triple header on wild card Sunday. Okay, more games to watch. That's kind of cool. But also a part of it, a 17-game regular season schedule, a 3-game preseason schedule. And it's showing more signs than ever that it actually could happen. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen at some point, right? Like, I mean, eventually, you know, whether this one or the next one. But it looks like you're right. Like, it looks like it's going to be this one. I think just the initial thought in terms of the playoffs, I totally get it. I think, you know, when anything comes out, it's easy to go, you know, negative. Like, I don't like it. But I kind of do. I mean, it's the playoffs, you know. Yes, I think that the NFL already has the perfect system. I necessarily wouldn't change anything, but I like it. The wild part is that it changes the byes, like you mentioned. So now you're only going to have one team that gets a bye on each side. All right. So think about this. The last 7 Super Bowls, okay, all 14 teams that have made it had a first round bye. All of them.
Wow.
Every single one of them, right? So it goes to show you how important that it is. So if you're going into that saying, all right, you know, we haven't had, I think, you know, a wild card winner win the Super Bowl in, what, 9-10 years?
I think it was the Ravens.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's been that long.
Ravens in New Orleans.
If you take away one bye on each side, it's going to, you know, it's going to throw things off, like, I think in a good way. It's going to make it even more where a team like what Tennessee did, you know, it's going to give you more opportunity. Now, when you talk about the regular season schedule of 17 games, you know, it's an odd number. So now
I don't like that as much.
I don't either. I like even numbers with it, because what it's going to do is that now you're looking at, an odd even amount of home games. So now, you know, if they put it in for this year, the Titans might have, you know, 8 home games this year and then 9 home games. You know, you're going to have to alternate with that. And I'm not a huge fan of that. But like you said, it looks like it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I think what's interesting on that, you know, they're pushing London so much, and that if you have teams that go to London, now all of a sudden their home and away schedule is even, and, you know, that, so something tells me Goodell's going to factor that in because he's pushing London so much. But I definitely think the preseason should be shorter. As I said earlier, I don't love the idea of changing it, but I'll get used to it like everybody else. I'm not going to sit here and complain and say, oh, well, it's terrible. I mean, I'm reading about all the money. There's $5 billion that could be, you know, involved in this going to the players. Okay, there you go right there. I think they'd sign up for that. So we'll watch a triple header, like I said, on Saturday or Sunday for wild card, and it'll be entertaining. I like the playoff more than I do the regular season, though.
Yeah, I do too. The playoffs are going to be fine. You could put, you know, now it would go to, what, 14 teams that are in it. It's going to be fine.
The Rams and the Steelers would have made it this year.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you look in the last 3 years, the Titans would have been one of those teams, I think.
Yep.
In like 2016 or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to give 2 more fan bases, you know, the opportunity to get in. It's going to make week 17 a lot more entertaining.
Yep.
You know, because you just have that many more teams. So it's going to be fine. But I'm with you, you know, once you start getting into the 3 preseason games, 17 game, you know, regular season schedule, plus you're throwing in, you know, London, and if there's more games over there, that's where it starts to change things, because, you know, the numbers show that when you go to London. That's a hard trip. It's hard enough to just go, you know, in the division on the road. Now when you're going, you know, over an ocean, it's even more difficult. So we'll see.
One thing that I heard Joe Rexroad mention today on Morning Drive, and I'm curious of what you guys think about this, with a 17-game schedule, now you're changing history a little bit because you have one more game to break records and all of that. And they've done that before. They, you know, used to play 14 games and then they went to 16 games. So it's not that big of a deal for adding one, but is that something that bothers either one of you, that, you know, you could be changing some records because you're giving them more time to get it?
It doesn't bother me, because you know how I feel about them. I mean, things change. I mean, nothing stays the same. And so, they went from, 12 to 14 to 16. And it's just, I don't look at that stuff that way, because I know it's inevitable. Change will always happen. Everything is not going to remain the same forever. So decades are different. Eras are different. And you just have to account for that. You should, as a voter, a responsible voter, you should, if you're talking about somebody that played in the 70s, as opposed to somebody, or the era where receivers got, you know, they couldn't go over the middle, or they would get destroyed, and you could do a lot more on defense with them, where today, I mean, quite honestly, I mean, I think you should take that into account. I mean, they're going to break all the records today offensively, because the game helps offense.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I agree with you. It doesn't bother me, you know, too terribly much, because, one, the NFL, like you guys said, has shown that they're willing to change and have, right? Like, this playoff format now, you know, has only, you know, been around since 1990. So it's not like, you know, it's been around, you know, since Super Bowl I. But I think with, you know, with football, specifically the NFL, I think, you know, what fans, media, everyone collectively does a great job of compartmentalizing years and decades, right? Like, I think, you know, better than baseball, better than basketball. Like, people understand. They're like, hey, Joe Montana might be the greatest ever. Dan Marino might be the greatest ever. Tom Brady's, you know, won the most rings, et cetera, et cetera. I think people do a good job of being able to look and say, different time, different era, these guys were great. So I don't think it'll change, you know, too terribly much. But we'll see. I mean, you know, you never know. Anything can reach that one point where you do change just too much, but I don't think it's with this one.
Did they talk about expanding rosters? Is that part of it?
That's
I think
the
I've
next
heard
thing
that.
I was going to ask.
I don't know. I haven't looked at specifics. Have they also talked, is this going to be a 2 bye week?
That's another thing that I want to know.
It would have to be, right? They need 2 bye weeks.
Well, you know, and you think about this. All right, so you bring up a good point. You know, if they expand rosters, say, and it's just, you know.
And get rid of this whole activation thing. Just if you have, if they say the roster is 57, then 57 guys can be dressed.
Yeah, on Sunday. Yeah.
Inactives need to go away.
You know, if they, you know, say it's 5-6 players per team that you can add. Well, what does that do to, like, the XFL? Because you're going to have to get those guys from somewhere. Uh-huh. Not that they care, you know what I mean? But that's going to drastically affect that, because 6 players times 30.
I think
30,
it helps it.
It could. I mean,
I think it helps it, because it makes it more of what they want it to be. It makes it more of the development league without calling it a development league.
Sure. Yeah, you're probably right.
I think more guys would be inclined to go play there, because they see, oh, okay, now we have a shot at the NFL. Now, that depends on how many of this current XFL end up making teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
What I think, Alan, what you're saying is it could hurt the XFL, as in talent. The talent gap could get worse.
Yeah, if you're taking 6 players times 32, you know, what is that, almost 200? You know, somewhere around there? Yeah. I think it might be right at 200. Yeah, that's 200 players that, you know, have to come from somewhere.
But I could also see a scenario, and this is what needs to happen, where the NFL and the XFL get together and then go, okay, we're going to combine resources. We're going to work together. And so let's say you have, I'll use Cam Batson as an example, re-signed with the Titans on a 1-year deal. A guy they really like. When he missed all last year, he played very sparingly the year before. He's somebody that could use some playing time. So the Titans go to the XFL, one of the teams, and they say, hey, we got this wide receiver. He's our property, but we want him to play. He's going to go play for you, and he'd be playing right now. You're getting more reps. I could totally see it going to that at some point, and it should.
It would be good. I mean, you've got guys taking live reps in a league where, you know, knock on wood, you know, we haven't seen any big injuries. You know, the game is a little more safe. I think that would be a beneficial aspect to everyone involved. Yeah.
Have you watched the XFL at all?
Yeah, I have.
And
it's not bad. You know, they're going to have the same problem that, you know, the NFL's had is that, you know, offensive line and quarterback is hard to find. You know, you're going to have to put up points. But I think that the way that they've kind of cornered the betting market, which is smart.
Yeah. I think that's helped it a lot.
A ton. You've got a lot of people who couldn't care less about who's winning, who's losing, but they, you know, they pay attention in terms of betting. Plus, you've got a lot of people who probably aren't big NBA fans, might not be college basketball or NHL, whoever. It's just football that it's on, you know. So, yeah, the product has not been bad. You know, they've done about as good as they can do for 2 weeks.
The thing that has the best shot of converting to the NFL from the XFL, it could be anything. Camera angles, how would you answer that?
A version of the kickoff. Because, okay. Here's why. So it might not look exactly the same, but if you look at the numbers of kickoffs returned in the XFL compared to the NFL, through week one, it was 80-81% of all kickoffs were returned, and it's more safe. The NFL is hovering around 32%.
Yeah.
So I think some version of that, you know, could be because you're not going to get the transparency of referees. You're certainly not going to get play calls. You're not going to get any of that. And they're not going to change the 2 minute to where the clock always stops. But some version of the kickoff, I think, is probably your best bet.
So you don't think they're going to, when the guy fumbles, they're going to get an interview on the bench?
No.
In the NFL?
No, it's not going to happen. Yeah. No,
like, you might get the sky judge.
Like the punt return?
Yeah.
With Pat McAfee? Like, what were you thinking there, man?
I know.
I mean, it's great. Funny. It's great for, you know, everybody watching. But.
Yeah, it's good for them. And you know, what I like about what the XFL's done is that you don't have to be the NFL because you know what? You're not going to be.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Just be yourself and have some fun.
That's exactly right. More with Alan Bell on the other side. We'll come back and close out the third hour with him. Right now, I want to talk to you about United Structural Systems, USS, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And if you're a homeowner, they have more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. And with all the rain we've been getting and wet snow here today, maybe you've been noticing bowing basement walls or standing water in a crawl space or musty odors or rot in floor joists, condensation on ductwork, cracks in basement floors. These are all signs that something may be going on at your house that you need to get the experts out to. And you may be asking yourself, why is this happening? Well, maybe you've got poor drainage or water seeping through walls. I mean, there's a whole list of things that the experts, that's USS, can tell you about. And they're proud of that. They're proud to be the experts. They believe in their quality of work. They believe in their reputation. They believe in integrity, and they're going to come out and give you a free estimate and tell you what's going on, whether you need to address it or don't worry about it. They're locally owned. They're licensed and insured, and if something like this is going on, get them out to your house. I have done it. Luckily, I got the two thumbs up, clean bill health on my house, but if you've got something like this going on and it needs to be addressed, hey, they're the ones to call. 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or you can always go to their website, usstn.com. As they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.
Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Alan Bell, Sportsline 24/7 Sports as well. All right, so I know you're into all this stuff like I am with the sports betting and sports gambling, obviously with Sportsline.
Yeah.
It's what you do. And a lot of people are curious of just how far along things are here in this state. It has been approved. It is going to be legal to do it with apps. And I know there are several companies that are going to be involved, but there hasn't really been too much news on when things are going to get rolled out. I know at one time it was January, and it's been pushed back. So how far along are we with this, Alan, and how soon can we expect to be able to bet on games?
Yeah, we're pretty far along, like you said. You know, the hard parts are done. You know, the approvals are done. You know, the state is pretty much ready for it. Really, the last hurdle is, you know, kind of the minuscule type parts that are in, you know, the language of a contract, right? And it really, the big one comes down to, you know, kind of the lottery group, you know, that runs it, you know, had a capped payout of around 85% on, say, parlays, right? So that's really been the big sticking point because no other states have put that in. You know, you bet whatever you get, you know, and your taxes, you know, kind of are the juice, quote unquote, you know, on your bets, right? So that's really where it's been kind of hung up on. They've been meeting the last couple days, and the language in that contract was changed from 85% to around 92%, which is a lot better, which meaning if you placed, you know, if you won a parlay that won $100, they were only going to give you $85. Now it's $92, right? So that's really where it's been, and it looks like that'll probably be the number. They're going to meet again in, I'd say, a month, 2 months, somewhere around there, probably knock it out, and they want to be ready for football season this year. So that's where they want to be. I think it's got a great chance of being that, and then once they get, you know, kind of that final paperwork done, really all you have to have then is just, you know, mobile companies, you know, DraftKings, FanDuel, that come in and say, okay, all right, we're setting up in Tennessee, we're ready to go, and that's a very simple, quick, easy process. So we're pretty far down the road.
How does that work for people out there listening that don't understand what we're talking about? You don't have to have a casino, per se, right? A sports book. This is going to be more your phone, your computer, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be all mobile. So what that means is, you know, you could do it. You wouldn't have to go anywhere. You could be on your computer at work or at home or on your phone and say, hey, I want to place a $20 bet on the Titans week one, right? You could just pull up DraftKings, FanDuel, whoever, William Hill, whoever, you know, registers with the state as an approved group.
So they'll have to register. And
yeah, which is,
way,
which
they,
is
they
very simple.
Pay, and that's another. They're going to have to pay big.
They do. But, and here's the thing, the expected handle in Tennessee is going to be around $4 billion per year.
Wow.
Yeah, so there will be companies that will come in very, very quick. Like, that will not be a problem at all. That'll be the easiest part. So, you know, if you want to place that bet, you know, you could go to these legal U.S.-approved sites, you know, on your phone, place the bet, boom, and, you know, those companies are, you know, some publicly traded, some, you know, these are legit sites. You're not going to, you know, some offshore where you don't know if you're going to get your money paid out or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty far down the road, and it'll be extremely simple. You know, bettors and fans alike will all enjoy it.
This is not like the explosion of poker online
exactly.
Back in the day.
Yeah, where one night you just wake up and the feds have seized, yeah, the feds have seized the site, right? Yeah, like these are all approved.
It's like, what happened to my balance?
Exactly. Now, the ones who had negative balances were like, all right,
yeah,
we're good. Yeah, finally.
All right.
But no, I mean, it'll be, you know.
Go feds.
once it gets this final approval of kind of that cap percentage, That'll be the last really hard part, because companies will come in, they'll knock that out in a day.
Do you think this will lead to someday brick and mortar this state?
I do.
You would have to have a governor, you know, that's on board, and who's the governor now? Bill Lee?
Bill Lee.
Yeah, so Bill Lee, his stance that he's had consistently the entire time is he's not for or against it. He's just stayed out, which I don't think he's big on sports wagering, but at least he recognized the taxes that would come in. So he's like, you know what? I'm just out on it. You guys do what you do. You know,
as long as it's good for the state.
Absolutely.
That's kind of how he looks at it.
Yeah. So, and if it goes, you know, goes over well, and, you know, there's a new governor, you know, that's really on board, they could say, yeah, we're going to move this from just mobile only to brick and mortar. Then you could be putting,
imagine?
A sports book wherever you want.
What about Broadway? Can
sports
you
book on Broadway?
Put on Broadway. Park the General Jackson on the river, right? At night. Make it a sports book at night.
Yeah.
You know, like there could be so many of those options. But here's the thing with mobile. You could still, you know, if you guys owned, say you guys owned a bar on Broadway, you own Tootsie's, right, or wherever, you could
set
put
up,
yeah, you could set up just
room.
Like a sports book.
Yeah.
You just don't have a physical human being taking the bets.
Can you?
You could put up, you know, iPads, things like that, where people can use that.
That was going to be my question. Can you set up like a kiosk where it could be like a bet? Because they have those in Vegas where, you know, you can just walk up and place your bets and it's all automated. And
a place like Dave and Buster's could have a very low economic cost at the beginning, because they really have everything.
Well,
now
Buffalo
you just,
Wild Wings, I think, is
right by
into
right
it.
By their TVs.
Yeah, you have the TVs. You could put lines up and everything. You can put whatever you want. You just can't have a human being physically taking the bet, but you could put an iPad at every table.
Yeah.
You know, with the approved apps of the companies, you know, that are here. You do it yourself. You log in, boom, you're good.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that can happen very, very fast. Once they get this last kind of litigation part finished and signed, it's going to move quickly.
Apparently, Alan, I'm just throwing this out there. I guess you can't drive around with 157 pounds of marijuana
no.
in your car. That's
frowned upon.
I didn't realize that until I read this story, but I don't know if Greg Robinson didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But you can't do that, especially if you're trying to, like, sell it and stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's in a little bit of trouble.
Or a lot. He's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, he's in a lot of trouble, you know.
This is, like, worse than Nate Newton.
This is bad. I mean, this is
really
bad because now, you know, you're moving that much. You're going, you know, he was going from California to Louisiana, and he went on Interstate 10. And where he got in trouble is that he didn't look on the map that, you know, right past El Paso and I think it's Santa Blanca, there's a border checkpoint that he just drove right into, you know, and of course, you know, dogs and everything, you know, hit on that. But you're just wondering, like, what are you doing? Like, what you just had, what, a $30 million contract a couple years ago? You know, and I know that the Browns were, you know, going to release him, you know, anyway, but.
And he was the number two pick overall, so he got paid out of the gates.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Then you start to wonder, you know, were you just making that dumb of a decision, or were you in trouble with some people? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
were you doing them a favor to get out of something?
Exactly. And I'm certainly not speculating on any of that. I'm just saying it's that dumb of a thing of just what are you doing? Because now you're looking at, you know, I think the charges, you know, you could face up to 20 years, which, you know, you probably won't get, but you're looking at some whole time here, man. Yeah. Like, this is not good at all.
His career is over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
His NFL career is over.
Yeah.
So does that put the Browns directly in a spot to be going hot and heavy for Jack Conklin?
It could.
When free agency begins?
It could. I mean, you know, that this free agency class is going to be amazing. Like, get beyond the quarterbacks, which is great.
I know.
There are so many good players out there that, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, what does, you know, DJ Humphrey signing with the Cardinals, you know, $30 million 3 years, what does that do to Conklin? What does, you know, the quarterback class do to a guy like Tannehill? Does it drop his number? Well, a guy like Derrick Henry, you know, where there's not necessarily a bunch of great running backs, does his, you know, numbers shoot up? I mean, this free agency is going to be insane. And we start in what, less than a month?
Yeah. It's all going to get cranked up right after the combine.
Yeah, it's going to be wild.
Good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Man, appreciate you guys having me in. Yeah.
Alan Bell, he's really good. It's a good follow on Twitter. It's free. Just hit follow. Right? It's very easy. He's 24/7 Sportsline. And he does a really good job. Thanks for doing this as always.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we will come back. We'll kick off the fourth and final hour with Elliot Freeman. We'll talk a little hockey with him next.